Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Airplanes pounding civilian areas, mosques being destroyed, blockade imposed on the region and infrastructure under attack, with civilians continually dying and being caught up in the onslaught. This is what is happening in Yemen as Saudi Arabia continues with its attacks. This is more than 3,500 people have been killed, and the so-called international community continues to look the other way.
Saudi Arabia has intensified bombardment of Yemen by pounding northern provinces, homeland to Houthis. The fresh attacks were launched after Saudi Arabia declared Sada and adjacent provinces as military zones, giving the locals a few hours to flee. Many Yemenis who prefer to stay report of high casualties. The attacks were intensified after Yemeni tribes began striking back by firing rockets inside Saudi soil. As the number of casualties of Saudi attacks is rising, some international organizations are warning about the worsening humanitarian situation in Yemen. Aid agencies also find it more difficult to send food and medical supplies into Yemen due to Saudi Arabia's land, sea, and air embargo.
If restrictions on the commercial imports of food and fuel continue, then it will kill more children than bullets and bombs in the coming months.
Trying to divert criticism over its blockade as well as using deadly weapons in Yemen, including cluster bombs that are banned by much of the world, Saudi Arabia has announced that it will observe a five-day ceasefire from May the 12th. The observers say the announcement is nothing but a PR stunt.
Saudi Arabia is one of the most brutal regimes on the planet, really. Look at the track record of these people. And again, understand this is a Western-run regime. It's more of a psychological operation than anything. I don't think this pause was anything but PR. And to further terrorize the people in Yemen, make them think that there's a little bit of hope, and then just carpet bomb them again the way they're doing, and just show the world what we do to anybody who stands up against the West.
Meanwhile, Tehran has once again blasted Riyadh for its military campaign.
It's a government that has done whatever he wanted by spending dollars. It's now opted to use bombs. It's under the illusion that it can portray itself as a powerful country. It thinks by using bombs it can influence a region and achieve its goals. This is a strategic mistake.
According to human rights organization The Freedom House, Saudi air raids have left over 3,550 Yemenis dead over the past 6 weeks. Yemeni activists demand the world hold Riyadh accountable for its atrocities. But it seems that as long as the United States and its Western allies stand by Riyadh, there will be no accountability on the part of Saudi warmongers.
We're not going to see any charges brought against Saudi Arabia until the people of the West stand up and pay attention to what's going on and stop our governments from supporting this type of activity. This is a whole bunch of Western puppets that have gone in and just stomped on another country, and they're just turning it into an absolute humanitarian tragedy of epic proportions.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, the founder of StopImperialism.com, Mr. Eric Dunser, out of New York, and the former member of Yemen's National Dialogue Council, Mr. Mohammed Qubati, out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in London with Mr. Qubati. Mr. Qubati, when looking at these strikes now that's been going on for more than a month and a half, or around a month and a half, it appears that Saudi Arabia has been very, very, one would say, perhaps ruthless in the way. We're talking about over 3,500 people being killed in just a month and a half. Why do you think that we are witnessing these types of attacks by Saudi Arabia on a fellow Arab and Muslim country?
Well, we have got to look at the this issue from perhaps a different angle. The whole bone of contention is the legitimacy of this operation, of the military operation. And that is very much linked to the legitimacy of the people who have called for it. See, the whole problem started when, unfortunately, the Ansarullah, colleagues who were with us in the dialogue, in the 10 months long National Dialogue Conference, have questioned the legitimacy of the president, of President Hadi. President Hadi has been has taken over, and I mean, he was there in charge. And at one time, because of some problems, he decided to resign, but there is his resignation didn't went through, so he got back. And the question of the legitimacy of the president is very much linked to this. If we consider that the president is the legitimate ruler of the country, then this intervention has been called by him. He has got the right, according to Article 51 of the UN Charter, to ask for interference if he feels that there is some foreign foreign power is trying to mess with the peace and security of the country.
Okay.
So he has asked for that intervention. Unfortunately, things have been going now, especially over the past 2-3 days. They have gone out of control because of the clashes, the escalation which has happened on the Saudi border. The Saudi felt that they have been now been attacked, because at one time they intervened on the base that they're going to help the situation in Yemen to get back the legitimate government.
Well, well, with all due respect,
help.
Mr. Gorbachev, with what you're saying, all due respect, sir. Let me just jump in here. You're saying that, sir, the last couple of days, you're saying the last couple of days things that have deteriorated because then Saudi Arabia was attacked, or a couple of people inside of Saudi Arabia were killed. We're talking about, sir, over now 3,500 people in a month and a half. Doesn't that make a difference? Isn't it important that the blood of the Yemeni people is being lost?
No, for sure, you know, but those people who were killed, I come from Aden, you know, there were 100 people who were killed, innocent people who were just attacked by the rebels in the port of Tawahi in Aden 3 days ago. So yes, the killing of around 2,000, 3,000 people has not been carried by the Arab allied forces. Unfortunately, it was carried by the rebels who have tried to attack the southern cities, the city of Aden,
the city of Abale, and the city of Taiz. Get our other guests in out of New York, Mr. Eric Dreitzer. Mr. Dreitzer, your take, it seems that there are many different rules that actually takes place in the so-called international community. Depending on who supports which entity, then sometimes it's okay to actually invade a sovereign country. Sometimes it's not. We see what happened, for example, in Ukraine is one way how the Western community goes forward. Then we see, like right now in Yemen, it's something different, and Syria is something different. Your take, sir, on what our guest in London has just said.
Well, I have to respond to some of those comments because I think that it's quite convenient, the narrative that's being put forward out there. For instance, the notion of legitimacy, I think, is central in all of this, primarily because the question of whether or not Hadi was legitimate was one of the central grievances that the Houthis had, and some of their negotiating partners as well. Basically, the issue comes down to 2012, because Hadi was installed. He was not necessarily elected. He ran unopposed in an election where there were no other options, and this was sponsored by the United States. He was put forward by head of the CIA, John Brennan, who at the time was a special representative of the Obama administration. He was backed by the Saudis for political and geopolitical reasons. So his legitimacy is entirely manufactured. And so the question of whether the Houthis had even the ability or right to sort of bring up that in part of the negotiations, I think, is a very real one. Now, certainly, it's true that many of those who support the Saudi intervention would like to say that, well, the Houthis are illegitimate, the Houthis overthrew the legitimate government, but this is within the context of an ongoing civil war. I think we all understand that civil wars are complicated, that when you have multiple factions, multiple alliances fighting with each other, fighting over territory, fighting over power, you're going to have complex situations and complex relationships. I think that ultimately what it comes down to is that the Saudis, with their U.S. patrons are looking to have geopolitical gain and to maintain their own hegemony by reinstalling their puppet government. Now, this question of Aden and the bombing of Aden, I think, is also really significant, because what we're really talking about, Aden is not simply a city in Yemen. Aden is an enclave that's been created by the Saudis for the purposes of creating space to reinstall their puppet government. Aden is a safe haven for that government, which is now under siege. And so this conflict that we're looking at that's going on around Aden has a larger context. It is not simply the slaughter of people in Aden. Now, final point I just want to make in response to those comments, the notion that the Houthis don't have the right to resist a bombing campaign is absolutely outrageous. You can cite all of the international law you want. The Geneva Convention, the UN Charter, and international law guarantees the right of self-defense. It guarantees the right of retaliation against people who are being bombarded. The Houthis don't have an air force. The Houthis don't have billions upon billions of dollars of military backing. They are fighting a war for their very survival, and the idea that they can't strike back at the Saudis is outrageous.
All right, stay with me, please, both my guests. We're going to cross over to our Facebook page and see some of the comments that some of our viewers have written.
The Saudi regime is doing the same job that the Zionists did in Gaza, that is, killing innocent people. The U.S. wants to pull Iran into a military confrontation with Saudi Arabia to bring a full-blown war in the Middle East. The goals are obvious: a full destruction of Arab countries and Iran. Who's benefiting from all of this? Of course, Zionism and its global agenda to rule the world. Keep it up, Saudi. Finish all the rebels. No excuses to kill children. Saudis are criminal warmongers. Where is the UN? It's right for Saudi Arabia to attack any rebel Shia group. When will ICC say something about this, or is it only active in Africa? While they can bomb because America is protecting them, like Israel, who without America can't survive a week.
Well, you saw some of the comments, Mr. Gobati. What about the one? It said that many experts are saying now that this may be a proxy war that the United States would like to see entities such as Iran get directly involved. Your take on that, sir?
Well, we have got to understand that the Yemeni problem has been discussed very much and thoroughly in the United Nations Security Council. There have been 6 resolutions passed, and those resolutions were passed unanimously, and 2 of them were passed under Chapter 7 of the United Nations Security Council. So I think people who are thinking of solving the problem in Yemen have got to check into consideration that will of the international community, which has been expressed very well as regards the solutions and the possibility of avoiding a confrontation and perhaps a regional confrontation in the area now. There is a lot of saber rattling now happening on the basis of that some people are trying to get some international aid to the country, but it should go within the context of the rules of getting such aid to the country.
And let me ask you that. What does that mean exactly when you say that some countries want to get aid into that country, humanitarian aid? Then what should they do if the people are suffering, they need the aid and they're trying to send it, but the Saudis will not let humanitarian aid inside of Yemen?
No, the humanitarian aid will be allowed. It just has got to be make sure that this aid is not actually arms, that we know that Yemen has got a lot of arms which has been transferred, and the whole problem of Yemen is the amount of arms which has been smuggled into the country over the past 3-4 years,
With all due respect, sir. So you're talking about that the main problem is that the Yemeni people are armed, but yet the main problem that they're facing right now is coming from aerial attacks from Saudi Arabia. Do you not think that Riyadh has any responsibility in what is taking place and the loss of innocent life on the ground in Yemen, sir?
we have got a chance now. There should be a ceasefire. There should be, sort of an armistice, or days for 5 days for the people to, receive all international aid and help, which was intended over the past, few weeks.
All right.
But it has been obvious that this aid is not reaching to the people at all, because some people there on the ground are avoiding. They are not allowing this aid to reach like our people in Aden.
Let me get Mr. Dretzer back in on this and keep it balanced and go to New York. Mr. Dretzer, your take on this. Who benefits the most from what is taking place now that we see the Saudis' continual attack in Yemen?
Well, it's clear the main benefactors, the main people who are benefiting from all of this are the people who initiated the conflict, and that's Saudi Arabia and the U.S. patrons behind it. Because, of course, Saudi Arabia is looking to reestablish its hegemony in the Arabian Peninsula. They're looking to prevent any Shia opposition from emerging. They're looking to prevent the Saleh-Houthi relationship from continuing to grow. And, of course, the United States, from a political perspective, wants to maintain its control in there. It wants to maintain the assets that they've had in there for years in the alleged fight against Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The beneficiaries are also the Al-Qaeda elements that are backed by the Saudis, who have been thoroughly routed by the Houthis and the Saleh loyal military. You also have, from a geopolitical perspective, the United States, which has sought for years to maintain control of the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, which is one of the critical choke points in world trade. The United States has done so with regard to its role in Somalia. The United States is doing so with regard to Yemen as well. And in fact, Yemen and Somalia present quite striking parallels. And in many ways, the situation in Yemen is mimicking that in Somalia, where you're having a breakup of the country into factions, where regions are going to be broken up by tribal groups, by strongmen and warlords and the others. And all of this is part of the problem, because, of course, the Houthis and the Saleh loyalists and the leftists and the Harak and all of these other movements, all of these groups, they were all at the table. There was a chance for dialogue. There was a chance for compromise. And the Saudis scuttled that opportunity because they wanted to implement their agenda, their hegemonic agenda. Hadi, let's remember, resigned from power because Hadi understood what the reality was on the ground. It was his backers in Riyadh, in Cairo, and in Washington which thrust this war onto the people of Yemen. And, you know, it's interesting because we're not really talking enough about the people of Yemen. The people of Yemen are suffering, and they have a variety of political allegiances and political loyalties in this fight. But until there's going to be a dialogue, one in which there are not bombs being dropped from the air on all of the interested parties, until such time, the blood is on the hands of Riyadh and on Washington, those who initiated the conflict and those who are perpetrating it.
Well, Mr. Kobate, your take. Sir, we looking at the, when we see the footage coming out of Yemen, it reminds many people of Israeli onslaughts on the Gaza Strip. We see basically innocent people being killed. We see attacks from the air. We see the infrastructure targeted, whether it is water supply, whether it is the mosque, hospital. Very reminiscent. Do you see any similarities to what is happening in Yemen, comparing it to what we've seen all too often by the Israelis on Gaza Strip?
I think the central issue here is the attempt by certain forces to reinstate the former dictator Saleh. I mean, we have been here with you more than once.
Sir, can you answer the first part of that question?
Yes, I'm coming to the point. Yes, I'm coming to the point. So trying to reinstate a dictator like him is the problem. So yes, then we see now this fight is now taking us along the road where innocent people are being killed because of confrontation and because of retaliation and counter-retaliation. So the Yemeni people are the losers. I agree to that point. Yes, the Yemeni people are the losers. But we have got to give chance now for peace. There have been resolutions asking for a ceasefire over the past few weeks, but nobody is towing the line to try and stop that battling and which is harming our people.
With all due respect, when you're talking about a ceasefire, wouldn't it happen to be first that the airplanes would stop attacking the people first and they would respond?
Yes, that's what I mean. No ceasefire, a ceasefire by all parties, without making use and taking chance of the ceasefire to expand. This is the idea which has been put for a long time now, and that's the idea which has been put now by the U.S. Secretary Kerry and as well the Foreign Minister of Saudi Arabia. They have said starting from Tuesday, the there will be a lull in the war, and everybody should stay where they are, and we should get humanitarian aid to the people,
okay,
and perhaps start the political process again to get back to the negotiating table.
All right. And we're just about out of time. But Mr. Dreitzer, your take, what will it take now to try to bring back security and bring back peace to Yemen?
You know, it's really interesting to me that the Saudis would be saying that there should be a ceasefire, considering the fact that they're the ones doing the bombing. They're saying that the Houthis are being unreasonable, that they're not willing to accept a ceasefire when the Houthis are on the ground with automatic weapons and shoulder-propelled grenades, and the Saudis have jet fighters provided by the United States to the tune of $60 billion. This is an absurdity. This is an affront to reality and to objective analysis. I think what needs to happen is that the Saudis need to recognize that they are committing egregious war crimes, that they are bombing civilian infrastructure, bombing hospitals, schools, and roads. And they need to be held accountable. They need to stop the bombardment. They need to open up the position, then the possibility for dialogue. And in doing that, then you might begin to see a change. Because remember, all of the bombardment has not destroyed the Houthi forces. All of the bombardment has not broken the loyalty of the military to Saleh. This has not changed. And by the way, Saleh was deposed in 2011 in the beginning of the Arab Spring. Saleh was deposed by the people of Yemen through whatever machinations happen. The notion that Saleh should be returned to power because of geopolitical reasons is ridiculous. It's the people of Yemen whose voice needs to be respected, not the interests of Saudi Arabia and Washington.
And on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests for being with me. Founder of StopImperialism.com, Mr. Eric Dreitzer out of New York, and former member of Yemen's National Dialogue Council, Mr. Mohammed Qurbati out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate right here at Press TV. Make sure you join us same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.